This week on the program, it's as if a pile of horse manure was turned into a movie. It's The Love Guru. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And this is somehow the 400th episode of We Hate Movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. And like I said up top,
400.
400, man. 400.
And the last.
No.
Wait, no?
No.
You okay, always no. do this.
I was going to say,
all the time you do this.
I think you've repeated that joke on every 100th milestone.
My rationale is I want us to get as big as that last episode of MASH.
You know? Okay. That's a good goal.
I mean,
ambitious. I like it.
I know people who do like metrics on this show know how many hours we've done.
Right.
But I'm guessing we've done somewhere around like... Call it 400 episodes. Call it 90 minutes an episode.
Right.
That's like
9 million hours.
Plus, that sounds about right.
There's all the other bonus stuff like we have on Patreon. 9 million
hours. I would say it's between 600 and 1,000 hours of content at this point.
Mm-hmm. Wow, really?
Yeah, something like that. Wow. 600 is the low end, I think.
Wow.
And 1,000 is the very high end. Now, that means...
You have a beautiful mind.
We have 10... We have to do this for 10... We have to do... nine more times to get to 10,000 hours and be good at podcasting, so says Malcolm Gladwell.
So we're getting there.
We've got 1,000 hours under our belt.
Right. Uh-huh.
We need 10,000 more, 9,000 more to go.
And then we can impress a dork.
Yes. That guy can fucking stuff his sorries in a sack, mister.
Yeah.
So we thought, what better way to ring in 400 than with one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life, The Love Guru from 2008, directed, air quote, by Marco Schnabel. Yeah, okay, this is a Mike Myers production.
Yeah, is that just his nom de shit?
Dude, look at this motherfucker's IMDb page. It is just this movie as the directorial credit. Lot of, like, assistant something or others on various Mike Myers projects.
It sounds like the Mystery Men director thing.
Absolutely.
That sounds very similar.
You guys like aren't pulling punches on this one, huh?
By the way, we are pulling is the worst of 2018. We're actually pushing it back 1 week. Life Itself will be next week.
Yes.
That's
right. This week we're breaking it because it's a 400th episode. We don't want to do an Oscar Isaac being sad or whatever the fuck that movie's about, which I still have not seen.
Somebody's getting hit by a bus or something.
That's also something you don't want to
know.
I
wish somebody got hit by a bus in this movie, man.
I wish it was me getting hit by a bus. This is the second time I've seen this movie. The first time was a massive greenout situation.
Was that in theaters?
It was not in theaters. It was actually at the former home of two friends of the show, Justin J. Case and Sean Weiner.
Mm.
The disaster movie and X-Men experts, respectively. Because I was watching it and I was like, yeah, I remember that. And then about like 35 minutes into this movie, I was like, oh, I don't remember none of this.
I saw this in theaters.
What the fuck for?
Because I was...
You were like 29 years old,
are
man.
You now a
I was
like a...
up to bat as possibly the other person who might have to review this
I see.
Yeah, at the sure time.
Would. I was going to say, we hadn't started the show at this point, so what's your fucking excuse?
I almost had to review it. So I had to like take notes during this whole thing, and I remember very clearly getting about 30 minutes into it and then abandoning ship and throwing my notebook down and being like, I'm just going to have to experience this and let it be what it's going to be.
You know what? I'm picturing you. You're like, all right, this is a professional situation. It's like when Homer Simpson gets out his reading glasses.
Yes.
And you've got like the little pen that has the light at the end of it. You're taking all these like little Love Guru notes and you're like, well, that's the 19th time in 10 minutes that they've made fun of Indian people.
Well, you've all been to a screening with me. You know I wear a tuxedo to each and every screening.
Of course.
I respect the space.
Every night is the Oscars for Chris Gavin.
It's not stained jeans and a sweater.
Exactly. He's respecting the movies. He watches every movie dressed to the nines.
Now I'm just kind of imagining the opening of the old Siskel and Ebert.
And then I belch.
Burp.
this is one of the most requested movies of all time. By the way, true. Listener Request Month is still on right
Sweet
now.
Sweet segue, Steve.
If you're listening to this, the day it drops is January the 15th.
Gotcha.
2019.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, because if you're listening in the future,
doesn't
we're
count.
All dead.
Exactly.
At the stroke of midnight on the 16th, we will stop taking calls on our request line for what we're going to do in March. Listener Request Month is exactly what it sounds like. You tell us what to watch for a whole month. The way you're going to do it is go to give us a call at 718-925-3893 and leave who you are, what you want to watch, and a little bit of why. Yeah. And
A little bit of why. Let's just say a little bit of why.
You know what? Just do an entire episode on the phone.
Yeah, audition for the show. That'll be fucking great to listen to.
Leave a 90-minute voicemail.
The good news is the 10-year rule is off the table.
Yes.
The bad news is we still won't do movies we said we won't do, which you should know what they are.
Yep.
And stuff we've already done, we don't want to do that either.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all. So you want to do 718-925-3893 to call into the request line or Skype us at We Hate Movies.
Also, no in-theater titles, because a lot of folks who listen to the program, they like to watch the movies beforehand. We don't want to be forcing people to go out to the theater.
It should be available on VOD.
So a new movie that's on VOD, that works too.
And our good Patreon friends will not be excluded. We're doing if you want to call in, if you want to write in to us for whatever the Patreon episode you want to do, that can be weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Just tell us what movie you want to do as a Patreon request. Right. For the Nexus, it's the same thing. Just say Nexus. We're doing every Star Trek series except for Discovery and just Discovery, right?
Yep.
So that's a TNG, TOS,
Deep Space Nine,
Voyager, and Enterprise.
Yep. And then Animation Damnation, whatever cartoon you want. And send us a link and or where to find that
And remember
cartoon.
Now, you're going to email this in, but this deadline is closing fast. Anything sent in after midnight standard, Eastern Standard.
Eastern Standard.
There it is. Yeah.
Eastern Standard time will be deleted.
Listen, we're looking at time codes, friend.
Yeah. That's right. And
it's got to be by Easter Bunny Standard Time.
Easter, exactly. Thank you, Chris.
So the request line is 718-925-3893.
Yep.
Skype us at We Hate Movies. Write in if you're a Patreon at weallhatemovies@gmail.com. We've said enough.
We've said our part. Now you do yours.
Mm.
Precious few hours left in this day.
Yes.
So The Love Guru. This is a movie where Mike Myers is a white guy.
What?
Who is raised in India, so that's how they get around it.
How many people had to tie him down to not do brown face, do you think? Like, everybody, he's like, no, it's hilarious. I'm a comedian. I could do it at Sellers, this and that. Sellers.
Didn't you see the party?
Yeah, we all did. Yes. That was fucking 40 years ago, Mike.
Yeah.
Well, nothing's changed. Don't you know?
Yeah. And he is the Guru Pitka.
Gotcha.
You know, I got to tell you know you're in for trouble literally from the first frame of this movie.
Yes, yes.
As the Paramount stars are flying over that beautiful lake, you just start hearing a fucking sitar. And you're like, nope. It is a one-way ticket to Nope Town, buddy.
What is the name even? You know, shouldn't it be like the Guru Campbell or something?
Yes.
Not Wayne Campbell, but you know what I'm saying.
No,
because he's a white kid whose parents were Christian missionaries.
Yeah. Correct.
Who apparently die in India, and now he's playing for the other team and taking their names.
He was raised
under the cross.
Gotcha.
And now he's dabbling in Eastern religion.
The Guru Campbell, that's not racist enough.
I gotta tell you,
we gotta go. These people are ambitious.
But also, upon the death of this child's parents, why wasn't he just shipped back to Canada? He says he was born in Canada, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Wouldn't there be any other relative?
Where's the next of kin? I need that explained.
Kidnapped. He was kidnapped.
I think they lost him to Ben Kingsley in a poker game. Like, speaking of
brown
face,
by the way.
Oh, well, that guy.
And he's using the Oscars gave me a statue for brown face that one time.
Also, as you get a good look at a CGI baby Mike Myers kid, would you take that into your home? Even if it's blood. Even if it's blood. Look at that thing and tell me, I want that in my
Chris
basement.
Chris Cabin, if I looked at that thing, it would be blood.
There will be blood.
It'll be a puddle of blood.
Good Lord.
I would kill that kid. Well, I would murder that child.
I will say, like, half the comedy in this, they get a lot of mileage over the fact of pronouncing W's with V.
Uh-huh.
That's like half of the jokes in this.
Yeah.
Like when this kicks off with him singing 9 to 5.
Oh my Lord, yeah. The 9 to 5.
Well, this is clearly a thing. Well, where,
so,
like,
oh, hang on, what are you talking about? Like, so what lyrics in nine the lyric, to five?
In the lyric, like, so when he's like, doing his Berkeley? Accent, it's the whole thing is with his accent. Like,
right,
when
please do it for the folks at home.
I'm but not he's, doing.
He's
that.
Not doing. But that's what's weird, though. I don't know what this voice is because he's not doing a Hank Azaria, a Puna Hasaputa Petalon.
Sure.
It's this, he's trying to do this like new agey, flattened out.
The W's are V's.
Yes.
That's the big thing.
It's, I think he's doing like a Deepak foreign. Chopra impression. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you've heard him
is
talk,
that what he's
it's
doing?
Pretty close.
Yeah. Good God.
And I mean, like, who could, I mean, this is clearly a situation where Austin Powers was pitched, no one knew what it was, and they're like, I don't know. And then, like, it was a hit, and like, oh shit. When the last time that guy pitched me a script, I didn't know it was a huge hit. So now this has got to be, I don't understand this, but it's got to be a huge hit. Here's $1 trillion.
But there is a difference between playing a snaggletoothed British spy.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And the Guru Pitka.
It was so, there's a huge gulf of difference.
Yes. Also, what is with this prosthetic nose?
I don't know.
I don't understand it's
also,
why.
It's also not funny.
I think that's again.
None
like,
of it's funny.
It's just that's the character. He loves prosthetics. Mike Myers, you can't keep him away from it.
That's true.
I think this movie's not very good. I'm just gonna, I'm just gonna really like go nuts right now.
This was probably one of the hardest watches I've had for the show. It was I saw like a fly was in the room and I was just like, whoa, what's that fly up to?
I stopped. Multiple times, like I paused it and just got up and did stuff and came back. I took dog out. She was like, we already went out. What are you doing? I'm like, no, let's go. I'm watching The Love Guru.
I almost went to the gym.
Oh my God.
I almost paused this to go. That's
a bad movie.
The worst movie ever made.
Well, the weird thing is, I saw this with Eric, and there was a fly in the room.
Yes.
And we were, you know, it took us a while. We had to stop watching the movie. We had to try and catch this fly.
It was just like that Breaking Bad episode.
Exactly. I almost revealed that I killed your ex-girlfriend, but then I didn't.
Thank you. Oh, wait, what?
No, don't.
What'd you do? It's okay.
It's a good 5 minutes of that is it battling your cat.
No, this is terrible. I liked Mike. I still think, you know what? At the end of the day, if I have to sign the devil's book, really? Yay or nay on Mike Myers,
oh, no.
I think I'm signing yay a little bit in like lowercase.
I guess.
He gave me Wayne Campbell. He gave me Wayne's World along with Dana Carvey.
By the way. Yes. Yeah. Of course.
Wayne's World 1 is one of my all-time favorite movies. I think it's one of the best comedies of the 1990s, without question.
And credit to Penelope Spheeris as well.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yes,
still
also
is
good.
It great
holds
movie.
Up.
I think Austin Powers 1 really holds up.
It does.
All right, you're right. You're right. Well,
but,
you
and his SNL stuff is really good still.
Although, unfortunately, there are still some sketches where it's like, and this is what Lorne Michaels always does, it's like, now you play a baby in the sketch.
Well, he had that character where he was like the little boy who was tied to the...
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I hate it. Sorry. Yeah,
but Simon.
Yes. Yep. I hate the baby drawings. Characters. Yeah. I hate the baby characters. They still do it to this day.
It's creepy. Well,
we're still playing babies to this day on Saturday Night Live?
Of course we are.
And there's baby diaper shit in this, too.
No, it depends. It's adult diaper shit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a difference.
I blanked there for a minute.
I think that this movie is very 2008, or one might say 2000 and late, right?
Oh,
it's scorching. Not pulling punches on this one. The other thing that's weird, though, is like this. So this is a 2008 Mike Myers.
Sure. Yes.
The next year, he's in that like really small role in Inglourious Basterds. Yep. This is like nobody's given a shit about Mike Myers anymore. But then what's weird is you go and you look at the cast of this movie.
It's gigantic.
Everybody is in this movie.
Is everyone? I mean, like, I don't. You know what? I will.
Some people are in
people who have gone on to do other things. But there are like people in this movie.
Sure.
Well, also, the country was in fucking chaos at the time.
Yeah, we were out. We were on our last legs.
Yeah,
much like we are now.
Yeah,
right back in fighting shape.
Funny how the country keeps failing after a few years.
We were just about, what? We were just about to get Obama in there, and we're just on the crash landing from Bush.
Yeah, we were ready to laugh at brown people, that's for sure. We were very ready to laugh at brown people.
This was June 20th, 2008. This was summer blockbuster.
Bush of the fucking Bush of W's last days.
There is
oh my god, yes, a fucking movie about George W. Bush's final days.
Hey, Poppy, I'm in this bunker.
It's like
he orders the Love Guru to his bunker so he can watch it.
Yes, yes. I was thinking more like Kurt Cobain, like that Last Days movie. But yes,
W and big bug sunglasses on the cover there.
Yes,
I like that.
A 5 minute long take of him picking what kind of sauce he wants on his barbecue.
I was thinking an alternate history wherein this movie is huge and John McCain gets like Love Guru crazy rides it straight to the presidency.
Wow.
I could see that happening.
It could happen.
My friends, my favorite movie of this election cycle was The Love Guru.
No, ma'am. Not a Muslim. No, ma'am. By the way, Mariska Hargitay.
Dude, let's get into it. So his like greeting is Mariska Hargitay. That is one of the most it's like, here's what it is. If we were sitting around like a That 70s Show-esque stoner circle.
Sure.
High out of our minds.
Right. Sure.
And one of us started doing that, like without the existence of this film. Like
sure.
We just did it as like, oh, here's a greeting. It's Mariska Hargitay. We would all highly giggle for like 20 seconds and then instantly realize it's not funny.
I would stab you. that's where I'm going. I would stab
you. They've made this like it's the thesis of the film is this greeting.
Yeah. And also he gets Mariska Hargitay to do the movie, which I imagine the phone call went something like, "Hey Mariska, huge fan of you on SVU." He's like, "Oh, thanks so much. By the way, I want you to be in this movie." "Oh yeah, Austin Powers, I love it. What's the joke?" "Well, the joke is your name sounds like something an Indian person might say."
Hello? And also, like, with her cameo...
I love the silence.
If this movie was intelligent at all, which it is not...
No.
Because I was saying this on Twitter. I went on a fucking rampage after I watched this movie.
Shit.
Like, there's a movie to be had here.
How many casualties?
He turned into a big dinosaur.
I did block one dude.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
Yeah. Because he was like, "You tweet like a single woman." And I was like, "Adios, incel."
Whoa, what?
Single woman?
I don't even know what it meant, but he got blocked because of it.
Yeah, that's what happened.
It's the thing where, like, the idea for this, there's something in the seed of this movie where it's like, yeah, it's about a shitty white guy con man who's, like, taking all this South Asian culture, co-opting it for his stupid little scheme, and, like, you could make a comedy about that, like, he's found out or something like that, and a joke in that movie could hurt, like, Mariska Hargitay comes in, and she's like... He says it to her, and she's like, "Here's a fucking class action lawsuit," or like, "This is offensive," or whatever it is.
Yeah, in a case like that, you would need somebody. You would have to be an exterior figure. It couldn't be about him. You'd like his lawyer, his PR man,
or like an intern who gets assigned to work with him, or something.
Ryan Gosling in Ides of March type character.
Oh,
like,
of course, yes.
Obviously.
I'm sorry, everybody knows the Ides of March.
Yeah, we remember that fucking George Clooney classic.
"I'm gonna take this Pitka down. I'm Ryan Gosling. I'm Canadian, but I'm Italian too for some reason."
He is always Italian.
He's always Italian. I think the weird thing is like I think Austin Powers and Wayne Campbell as characters are buffoons, and the movie is sort of a joke upon them in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not how this movie goes. It's the other way around. Like, he is the best at it. He's
You're
amazing.
Totally right.
He's so cool. Even though it's like such a silly and stupid character, you have to be like, wow, this guy's got it all fucking figured out.
And I was about to offer up that's because we're in like a post Austin Powers, post Shrek like success thing.
Yes.
But you wanted to mention Penelope Spheeris. Like, you talk about when she talks about her experience making Wayne's World, it was horrible because he was a fucking controlling monster.
Sure.
So it's not that, like, I don't know why these two characters got it one way, but the Guru Pitka's like the fucking best of all time.
They should have done something where, like, he is the buffoon. Like, it turns out all those books were ghost written by like John Oliver or something, and then
yeah,
he didn't, right, who's in this movie as like his assistant, and that could be the white guy behind. He found someone to prop up as
the guru figure.
The suggestion is that he has, without trying, figured it all out.
Like, yeah, he literally
figured everything out, and he's at the worst he's ever, like, without even trying a little bit.
Right.
Like, so it's like, where am I going with this guy? Like, just so he can get Jessica Alba in the sack. I don't know.
But that's not even, I mean, look, the thing is the narrative of this movie is so loose and like, you'll watch a scene like, wait, what's the movie about? Like, because it just sort of goes in and out where it's like, about Romany Malek?
Malco.
Mitt Romney.
Romany Malco.
Romany Malco. It's about Romany Malco. Oh, no, it's about him and Jessica Alba. It's about going on Oprah with Deepak Chopra and, like, right. You know, what, whatever.
That's when I realized there was possibly some greening out afoot because I was like, hockey plays a part in this movie.
We start, by the way, with a really hilarious joke. You know who's known for narrating movies?
Who's that, Steve?
That Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah, he does have a nice velvety voice. Oh,
that's so true.
I love celeb cameos. God, honestly, damn. I'm a sucker for a celeb cameo.
Really?
You get me a celeb cameo in a comedy.
That's this my knee. This movie's cameo crazy. That's another crush it has.
Well, that's. Did anybody get a strong post Family Guy vibe?
Sure.
That's like probably. I when later.
But believe me, I wish we were in a post Family Guy society.
Well, no, like when he's when he's doing his routine in front of everybody when he does like the EIEIO thing and
yeah, his weird like cult presentation.
He's like, you know, like not Soul Train, but he cuts to
that's
the electric company.
That's a straight up joke from Family Guy.
It's a Family Guy, and I'm just really like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
they kind of wrap it into the narrative, sort of, where it's like, oh, John Oliver's like playing that clip, and I'm like, well, why would he make that clip? Like, Well, that's a joke. Why is he making joke? Why is Guru Pitka making jokes?
Oh, that's part of that presentation.
Yeah, like John Oliver's like, play the clip.
I thought he was imagining it.
Yeah, no. I thought it just cut to that. That's what I was also like, oh, the rando cutaway, super Family
Guy. We actually see it on a computer screen with John Oliver. So they were playing it to the audience this seminar.
Also in that seminar, Val Kilmer, for no reason. It was just
I was looking at the fly, I think.
It was like, who is it? Because like when he goes into the he does the presentation and then he goes into like the VIP lounge or whatever, and that's where he sees Mariska Hargitay. It's like her, Val Kilmer,
and Jessica Simpson,
who wants to fuck him.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Why wouldn't you? Catman, you didn't want to fuck the Guru Pitka?
No.
God damn it.
I did not.
I don't understand like the set, like you find out like sort of in the middle of the movie, and this is also part of what the movie is that he's a virgin and he's been in a chastity belt his whole life.
Right.
But that is so ill-defined and so like not what the movie's about.
Can I
you
ask
kind of it, keep forgetting.
It's just a random chastity belt. It has nothing to do with anything.
No.
Well, you're reminded every so often because whenever he gets erections, there's a little ding sound.
Yeah, the boner clangs.
Classic boner clang sound library effect. And it's a stupid joke. It's a chastity. It's something about like the teachings of Ben Kingsley, who's Tuggan Maputa is the name of this man.
I think this is just like a joke we took from Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it is a joke in Robin Hood Men in Tights. I think Amy Asbeck is wearing it.
I'm talking about the name. You went the names, right?
No. The chastity belt.
Is that?
But the names are also Brooksian.
Yeah,
it does sound like Mel Brooks characters. And, which, come on, man.
I mean, also like Austin Powers made sense because it was in the mode of a spy movie. So like, you at least some backdrop. Like, oh, they all have funny names because it's like a James Bond movie.
Right, you're spoofing a specific thing like this. There's no guru movies.
No, thankfully.
No, it's not. It's all just gross. It's like it's shit in my dumpa. And
one of his shit in my dumpa. I love it. But like Ben Kingsley's like great grand guru or something guru has a small wiener.
Yeah.
Oh man, these are terrible. Yeah,
I will say,
don't understand.
There is one. I had one legitimate laugh.
Really?
In this movie.
Oh, are you fucking joking?
Yeah.
Is this a bit? Dude, is this a bit?
This is not a bit. I will resign after this sentence. There is this bit where he's doing his presentation. He does start talking about his older guru teachers, And one of the older gurus, I forget who, gets syphilis and starts to go crazy.
Right.
And he would, instead of saying inspiring things, he would just say things like, and it's like, you know, written out in PowerPoint, and it just says, eating ain't cheating. And I got a chuckle out of eating ain't cheating. You know what? That's it. Right. I am a low-class monster. Okay.
Wow, I thought that my legitimate laugh at this movie was going to be worse than yours, but I don't know if that's true.
I don't know. Eating ain't cheating is funny. I don't know. It wasn't a big ha-ha.
It's just dumb. And it's also just a carryover from Austin Powers.
I mean, I did have one big... I'll fess up. Oh, it was at God. The very end, after all the credits, and like the rating comes up again. Yeah. And then I thought, I'm going to die someday. And I laughed at my... I laughed for quite some time after thinking about that.
That is my favorite joke, too. That Chris Cabin is going to die.
I noticed on the Amazon interface, by the way, it gives like all the cast and plot shit or whatever. It says director information unknown.
Yes, because it doesn't exist. Also, by the way, the Amazon list says a hilarious comedy starring Mike Myers as the Guru Pitka in his first original character since the blockbuster hit Austin Powers. Eat my ass, Jeff Bezos. That's a lie, and I'm taking him to court.
Oh, really?
I'm going to get $1 billion. It's not hilarious. This movie is not hilarious. Oh. This movie is not hilarious. You can't just throw the H word around.
I thought he had another original character between the two.
Oh. No, Shrek, because Shrek was adapted.
Would you say it's amusing?
No.
Okay.
No, Senator, I would not.
Well, would you say this scene's amusing? We do that flashback sequence of Mike Myers' head on a baby.
Jesus.
Talking
jib jab.
Yes, a living jib jab.
Oh, talking fuck, that's terrible.
The guru jib jab?
Yeah, talking to, you know, the guru Tuggin Maputin, which is Ben Kingsley with cross eyes, because everything else is not funny enough. We have to do the cross eyes.
It's like, hey, legendary actor, we're making you debase yourself with this movie. Also, could you fucking look incredibly strange?
This is like 4 years after Sexy Beast Man. Come on.
Yes, and there's a huge setup for this joke that's coming about his parents were missionaries, Christian missionaries, that we explained before. But prior, he asked, like, what did they do before that? Oh, they were dog stylists?
Oh, yep.
So then we get this joke about, like, oh, so they were into doggy style, then the missionary position?
Yep.
That's supposed to be a huge, like, laugh moment.
That's every single joke in this movie where you have to, like, build the bike first. You watch the guy build the bike, and then he can ride it.
Like, and while he's riding his own bike, he's fucking laughing. Like, because that's the thing is, like, Ben Kingsley tells that terrible joke, and then they have the character laugh uproariously.
And it's paused in such a way that they think it's a big joke. If you just throw jokes out, I'm not going to throw tomatoes at you, rotten tomatoes at you as much. But like the buildup is what's really killing so many of these goddamn jokes. I mean, they're terrible either way.
And the aftermath too, though. The laughter is a big problem.
Well, yeah, and they're also all deflated. It's the same thing with Cat in the Hat, where like half the time he's kind of like pretending like the joke he already knows it's bad. So,
exactly.
So he's just laughing at it himself. And I'm like, that's not funny. Funny?
No,
it's never been funny.
Can I a logical problem with this film?
Oh,
the
sure.
one that I found. Oh, I found one. Was there's a picture of him with the Beatles early on in the movie, right?
Yes, there is.
As an adult, like as a guru, as an adult,
and the Beatles are young,
So like, and then in the '70s, he's a child. Like, come on, dude. You know what,
it's
Mike? If you're such a fucking control freak, comedy genius who will fucking like make people burst into tears for ruining your terrible joke, don't make that joke.
Steve, in Love Guru 2, he would have gotten a time machine.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Heighten everything in the next one.
It would have just made everything make more
sense. He would have done three of these movies.
He would have done five.
No, he would have been going back home. His parents didn't really die. They were actually in hiding. And then he would be playing the parents.
Oh, wow, dude, my asshole just tightened.
No Michael Caine.
Oh, right, yeah.
His uncle, I don't know.
You get Peter Falk in there?
I mean, as long as they all look like nutcrackers, I'm sure that's fine.
What's with the outfit, dear? What's with the outfit?
Excuse me, Pitka. Your name is Greg. Oh, what is his name? His name's Maurice, though?
Maurice, yeah. So, because and that's only to set up another enormous musical number.
Right,
at the
just
end.
To do a Steve Miller Band routine. That
which
had
you
nothing
know
to do
all
with
the Mike Myers fans, dude. They were all clamoring for a fucking Steve Miller, the Joker fucking aren't, musical number.
Aren't there like four or five of them? And again, the whole joke of those whole things are that the W's are V's now.
Yeah. Like, it's just, that's...
It's not like he's changing the lyrics or anything, or at once in a while, a snot comes out his nose or something.
The joke is Indian culture. That's which yeah. is most yes. of the movie. Bollywood is the joke there. You've got, what do you call it, Jessica Alba being like kind of dubbed in like an old classical style Bollywood way.
They do. Right. There's a flashback. Whew. Or no, it's like a fantasy scene. The camera goes through his third eye. Sure. Is everyone paying attention?
Oh yeah.
And it's like, yeah, they make it look like bad film grain, like the dubbing is off.
Yes.
I think this is a real song too, like it sounds like a genuine article, and then they're just doing funny subtitles.
Yes. Oh yes, that's, you're right,
a problem.
Yeah, no, big time. Well, that was when 9 to 5 started. I was like, oh, he's doing it like a 9 to 5 like spoof song.
Sure.
No.
And then I was like, oh no, it's just the song.
The joke is this character is so hilarious. Could you imagine if there were Indian people? Could you imagine if this culture existed?
Could you just imagine if this was real?
I mean, my ribs are just...
I'm going to have to get my funny bone removed.
Can you imagine Hollywood allowing a white man to play an Indian person? They would never do... Yeah.
I mean, I guess the joke there is that's why Ben Kingsley's in the movie.
Sure. I mean... So Jessica Alba is also this movie. The plot of this movie, one of the plots of this movie, is literally just the plot of the first Ace Ventura, which is just
the star player on the team is bad, yes. and somebody has to fix the thing to make yes, him good again.
Exactly. It's somehow this movie is less transphobic than Ace Ventura. So then check mark there. You know,
it's not. It's not too hard. It's not too hard to be yeah. less transphobic than fucking Ace Ventura 1.
Hey, don't crash land the plane.
And man, Ace Ventura 2 is really bad with other cultures oh, as well. Absolutely. That whole franchise is ruined.
Yeah, because then the third one, dude, how disgusting is this? There's a little fat kid in it.
Well, I mean, I think that's fat shaming, probably. Yeah. This probably a body issue.
It's like Ace Ventura Jr. or something. It's right. like yeah. him as a yeah. kid, I think. Yeah. Is that Spencer Breslin doing that?
No, just okay. nobody. No,
some other
else.
Disgusting shit boy. Who you are supposed to feel ashamed of.
That's true.
So she, yeah. She's the owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Correct.
And they are in the Stanley Cup Finals. Romany Malco is the guy, is their star. We get introduced by Stephen Colbert and Jim Gaffigan, who are doing like this, like,
the best they can with nothing.
Yeah, it's like this. I was sort of trying to pretend like there was like a legitimate hockey comedy going on somewhere in like a different theater in my mind multiplex kind yeah. of a thing. And this is what I kept switching to, was like the broadcast booth gag.
It's kind of like the end of Speed when they finally kill Dennis Hopper and it's Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock on this train that has no brakes anymore. And like he's like, God damn it. Oh, man. He doesn't know what to do. And they're trying to figure it out. Like, that's what Jim Gaffigan and Stephen Colbert are doing in this booth.
And Colbert's gag is like he's a recovering drug addict who's like had some hard times or something. And then like Jim Gaffigan's playing the straight man. It's yeah. a classic like zany straight combo.
I mean, it's the gag is that somebody saw Dodgeball and then they yeah. did Dodgeball.
Right. Or basketball. Yeah. Basketball. Any movie, really.
But, it's almost as if someone saw a movie.
Anything Colbert, that ends with a competition.
Colbert does have a okay line about how he viciously assaulted Judi Dench. She's all right. It's fine.
He's doing his best. He's doing okay.
Listen, he's in the Love Guru.
Both of them are totally fine in this.
They're just yeah. trying not to drown on screen. But yeah, so that's so the problem is Darren Roanoke is the character that Romany Malco plays. His wife has left him for LA Kings star goalie Jacques Lecoq, played by Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm. Everything's a dick joke. Literally yes. everything in yes. this movie
Dude,
is a dick joke.
You are or, swimming in dick and ball jokes in this movie.
There's shit jokes.
There's shit jokes. But there's, not even...
No, Cabin. The amount of dick and ball jokes mm-hmm. in this movie, The only thing that's more like higher up on the how much are we doing this, like how much are we cramming in, is like the fucking Indian racism.
I'm just saying, once you get out of that cloud, it's not like you get fresh air anywhere. There's fucking farts, there's snot, yes, there's this fucking
movie,
shit.
This movie's the taint of the body.
And the piss. My God, the piss. There's so much piss.
There's piss play.
I could have used more piss jokes, honestly.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of piss jokes in movies.
Wow, Steve Zadek comment card. Test screening of the Love Guru.
But here's the thing. One man really wants to see a lot more piss jokes.
Your piss level's at 7%. I would like to see it at a 13.
Yeah. If there were a lot of piss jokes in this, you would be jealous of all those piss jokes. Why? You'd be yellow with envy. Or I don't know.
Oh my God. You know, you don't get a lot of piss jokes.
I like it, Eric.
Are we?
I guess yellow's for cowardice, but that works for Steve, fine. Too.
Yellow.
Are we? I am so glad that the Justin Timberlake acting experiment is pretty much done. I'm really happy that
question,
that book
is closed.
Is
all these dick jokes informed with like Dick in a Box from SNL? Was that before or after?
Ooh, I don't know.
That was before, I believe.
So this is sort of like a double down.
If it was before, then this is really. I mean, because
the joke in Dick in the Box is just like there's a dick in the box. This right. The joke in this is like he has to like
wouldn't
let
it be funnier?
Thud on a table.
Wouldn't it be funnier if the dick was humongous?
Right. That is the gag. Is he's got this fucking trouser snake on?
It's like a Ken Russell joke, though.
A fucking
like,
pants python.
If this thing ever got hard, it would float up into the sky.
It's a Dick in a Box of 2006, so yes.
Oh, so yeah.
There you go.
But I like Justin Timberlake as a comedian. I think he's very funny.
I think he's not funny at all.
Wow, really?
I just think it's like, I mean, like he's fine in Dick in the Box. He's fine. There's SNL funny, like you could stick him in an SNL sketch. And be fun. That's fine.
He's cutesy.
But in a movie, like, he's bad in this. And it's like, you could get a real actor, even, you
know, dude, this is the Love Guru we're talking about, man. You can't use this as a barometer for anything.
Well, okay, replace him. Let's say it's like Liam Neeson or something. And we're talking about his fucking giant horse cock. This entire movie, like he could fucking play hockey with it, like it's a stick. Right. I don't know why they didn't make that joke.
Or I'm even thinking like Sacha Baron Cohen.
Not getting mad.
Like I'm kind of I'm laughing at what that character could be, sort of. Maybe
more physicality.
But he was doing at this I think almost the same year was Talladega Nights.
Yeah,
and he did the same exact thing,
right, which is a much better movie.
Right. Well, and so you see him doing like the Frenchman in that movie way better than Justin Timberlake's doing the Quebecois in this movie. The fucking Canadian jokes in this.
It's terrible.
I know Mike Myers is Canadian, but this is shameful.
That's what I don't get, though. What the fuck did he say? Justin Timberlake's got that one joke about a fucking Quebec pizza and it's ketchup on a Pop-Tart.
Well, that's the one true thing about Canada.
I've had pizza in Canada. It's like most shitty pizza in America.
Yeah, it's. I just think that there could be... like. Get you know what, dude? Do Myers v. Myers again. You know what? Now he's doing fucking.
That's
him doing two characters.
And give him like sky blue, like robot contact lenses, make him look really fucking creepy. Ugh.
Yes.
It's all blonde now.
Yeah. Now you're reminding me that Goldmember's adversary was someone with a weird dick.
Yes,
it's all this weird dick stuff. You know, in the 20, what would you call it? The 20-aughts,
late.
You say the
2000 aughts. And late.
2000 and late. Yeah,
we love dicks. Dick jokes. Dicks reign supreme.
Yeah, dick jokes have really fucking evaporated.
They haven't evaporated, but there was some shrinkage.
Have you listened to this show?
Well, we're outliners. We're the bad boys.
But we were coming out of the gross out humor boom.
Yeah.
I think he thought because Goldmember did so well, I think that was 2006.
Yeah, something like that.
And that was gross out. He's like, well, that did well. It couldn't just be because it's a franchise and people just came out for it.
This is pretty gross out. That elephant shit is just like flying.
That's pretty terrible.
The piss mop is bad.
Ben Kingsley pisses into a bucket and then puts a mop and then another mop and then they got a fucking piss fight with mops.
Yeah.
And someone's getting paid $1 million for something with fucking piss mops.
Nick Nolte in...
Hey, Ben, can you help me out here? Oh, God damn it. I got fucking piss all over my face. You put fucking piss in the mop bucket. All right, I'm Guru, smokes two packs a day. Now listen, Pitka.
Listen, Pitka. We need to win this fucking Stanley Cup, all right? We don't need any of your bullshit.
Yes. Thank you, because the fake coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs is the late Vern Troyer. Mm. But man, imagine Nick Nolte as that coach.
Oh, yeah.
You are elevating this trash material.
This is why we need a real actor like a Nick Nolte or right. someone, because the comedy would come from playing off him as being super straight. Like,
yep.
Like
yep.
half this movie is fucking Miracle with Kurt Russell.
Yes,
and then
yes.
half of it is The Love Guru. And that's where you can find some funny.
Who would want to touch this?
Nick Nolte would do it. I'm sorry to tell you. 2008 Nick Nolte, he's going to do it.
He played
going
a fucking gorilla the next year in fucking in that fucking Zookeeper movie.
Yeah, Kevin.
I'm a fucking gorilla. All right, Kevin James. You want to fuck Rosario Dawson? Listen to a fucking gorilla now.
That is 3 days in a booth with some tea. This is showing up and like having to shit in front of Mike Myers or something.
It's like, hey, Nick Nolte, you get to wear a cool hat. Vern Troyer's wearing a cool hat.
Well, you have to be belittled by Mike Myers for most of this.
I gotta put up with your shit, Myers! I'll kill him!
Well, if you did that, you'd have to like craft a character a way to make jokes about Nick Nolte's characters, as opposed to just literally the fact that Vern Troyer is a little person, mm-hmm. and we're just doing all those jokes because you weren't tired of it after 2.5 Austin Powers movies.
It's outrageous.
So bad. Like,
Mini-Me's not in the first one, right? He comes in the second one.
I'm sorry.
Where'd you get the half from?
I just made it up.
I thought I missed a casting announcement.
One of these jokes, by the way, is, I didn't catch you, gnome. Name.
Yep.
That was actually the best one. I wrote down, circled, the best one.
Dude, at one point he just looks at him square in the eye and calls him a midget.
Yes,
he just goes, you are a midget.
He's eating shrimp and then just stares at him and says, shrimp.
Yeah, and that's the joke.
And that's supposed to be funny.
You know what that is? Isn't that, that's the fucking, the mole joke with Fred Savage,
yes, 100%.
Right? 100%. With guacamole.
See, Michael Myers was just like, people love me. People love my movies. I can just do those jokes again. That's my act.
It's everywhere. Fucking Speedy from Wayne's World fucking hanging out for no reason.
Did you guys catch the Wayne's World reference in this too?
Oh, yes.
Fucking music how cue? Dare
That was
you.
Fucking crazy.
And he looks at it. So it's like him and Roman and Malco are in the car. They're fighting over radio stations. Which, you know, that's fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hits a preset and it's Bohemian Rhapsody. And Mike Myers looks at the camera and I looked back at him and I was like, don't make me think about that movie right now. How dare you make me think about that movie right now?
I know. I can't believe it won Golden Globe.
Is he
in that fucking movie just because of fucking Wayne's World?
He probably is.
It's like the little nod. Also, that movie, speaking of Mike Myers, he was at the Golden Globes last Sunday. He introduced that movie it looked like a fucking, you could see like a sniper's like little red dot. Bohemian Rhapsody is a movie that happened and it was very good and Rami Malek is really funny and oh my God, please. Yeah, it's just give me back my daughter.
Did you notice the weird, Chelsea pointed this out, he was wearing some like Canadian Medal of Freedom. Did you see that fucking thing?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God, dude, it was like the end of Star Wars. I think he's wearing some medal.
Yeah, I think he's a Canadian knight.
Oh, okay.
Is that? Do they have that?
I had something like that.
Well, they're
that.
Not under the Queen's thumb anymore.
No.
I mean, like, you're like a super Mountie. Like, there are certain people. If you become rich enough famous enough, you become a super Mountie.
Hey there, we're going to inject you with this super serum that's maple syrup. And you're going to be a super soldier like Steve Rogers there.
You also get a sword.
Wasn't that the plot of Super Troopers 2?
You got to recharge there with some Tim Hortons.
Super Troopers 2 that would have been one of the worst movies of the year on this show. It was one of the worst movies of the year.
It was awful.
Horrible. Because it's all Canadian jokes as well. And
dude,
all we would
is
do,
it 1999?
It feels
in
like
in their minds.
I cannot believe how bad that movie is.
Here's a Andrew Drupin pro tip to spot a time traveler.
Gotcha.
You see anybody walking around this day and age in 2019 with that fucking Canada A t-shirt?
A what?
That person's from 1999.
I don't even know what you're talking
there
about.
Listen, Kevin,
I know you're talking about,
20 years ago, it was the funniest fucking t-shirt of all time.
Really?
Because in America, we just loved
making Canadian jokes, and right. nobody really knew why, probably from South Park starting in 97, yeah. but like we were obsessed with Canada shit, and there was a t-shirt that was just like, Canada, eh? And like a picture of the Canadian flag underneath it, sure. and you would just see fucking fat dudes walking out of arcades with that shirt on.
I don't know. It couldn't have been that big of a rage. I don't remember. I like the man, the legend t-shirt. Now that has staying power.
That's in this fucking movie.
It's actually in this movie.
It's in the movie.
You know, a t-shirt joke? That's in the movie.
I got a list of some sharp t-shirt jokes I'd like to include in the screenplay.
So Jessica Alba, who's sort of in this movie, by the way, the product placement in this movie is
nuts.
It's we're celeb crazy. We are fucking money crazy. It's
of course.
IBM, PlayStation, because it's like, oh, it's an arena. Like, yeah, I know it's an arena, but come on. It's like IBM, PlayStation. But
how about the fact that the NHL allowed their teams to be
That's what I was saying. This. And someone pointed out that apparently like the NHL's desperate enough that they will license almost anything. And then he pointed me to some weird like NHL like special run Marvel project that happened.
I mean, but that's the weird thing about this movie is like it pretends like when is the last time you saw an NHL player on the cover of People magazine?
Yeah,
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, the great one. I'm sure at some point was on it. That's about it. Or every once in a while, one of them will marry like a Hollywood actress.
Sure,
sure.
And that's something. But yeah, not just like that. Henrik Lundqvist is kind of like a big enough in New York figure, like a goalie for the New York Rangers. But like. Yeah, he's not on People magazine. No, he's one of the most handsome men of all time. He's not on People magazine.
And they're not suggesting that Megan Good is something big either, right?
No, she's just his wife.
Yeah, like
Romany Malco's wife.
Romany, but she's not like a pop star or anything.
No, but that would have been something to make her a character.
Yeah, that would be something.
Everyone loved them because they were like so devoted to each other. Uh-huh. And then he decided to like cheat on her with a bunch of models. And then she decided to leave him and start dating
Jacques Lecoq.
The cock.
Jacques Lecoq.
Jacques Lecoq.
Yeah, and he is, he's also described as the Tiger Woods of hockey. So apparently, like, this is an alternate universe wherein, because he's like a really famous black hockey player, that he would break through in such a way.
Right.
As opposed to who?
PK Zubin.
PK Zubin, who did win the Stanley Cup, right? He did win?
I don't know where PK is playing these days.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he was a big, but not. You know, like, it's not this.
No, it's not this at all. Also, though, do you see who's playing the mother?
Oh, yeah.
Thelma Hopkins, is that her name? She was Aunt Rachel on Step by Step?
She was not on Step by Step, but on Family Matters.
Family Matters, yes, of course.
That's right. She was one of those characters that kind of kept getting written out, like when Urkel needed a little more time. It's like, goodbye, Aunt Rachel.
She's got to go on the road for a job or something.
I just feel like you go to the Family Matters set in the mid-90s, and then Jaleel White is sitting in your chair, and it's like, did I do that? Shit. It's like, shit, was I fired? Like, yeah, you were.
I did that.
And then he lights a $100 bill on fire.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to eat your paycheck. That's right. You can go find it in the bathroom later. Look, that son of a bitch. Because they lived under... must have been a terror on that set.
Of course.
He just ate everyone's seeds. That guy was like, yum, 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 yum.
Absolutely.
They used to be a family comedy about real values, and it was about a nerd that builds spaceships and fucking robots.
Well, you know what's weird, though? Yeah, it's... I watched the pilot of that.
Sure.
And the end of that, the episode of Family Matters, ends with them around a piano singing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands.
Sure.
And they're like talking about like the love of God. And I was like, I remember this show as a nerd who built a robot that looked like him. Like, I was blown away by the pilot of Family Matters.
Like every week they would come in and like he would just be sitting in their chair. The mother, she's like, wait, I'm the mother in this show. And he's like, sorry.
I don't believe PK Zubin has won a Stanley Cup. He currently still plays for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
He went to the Stanley Cup in last year.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. In any event, so they're, you know, that's the thing is like, so he's trying to bring them back together. He's got this
Did
plan.
We mention the deal that Jessica Alba
gives
him?
Yes.
Oh, right.
It's go ahead, Chris.
It's $2 million.
Oh. Yep, dude. And I thought for a quick sec he was going to look at that camera again and be like, remember my better movie days.
And
that's a musical interview that I'd like.
An appearance on Oprah.
Right.
Yes. Dude, anyone catch the deep fake they do on Oprah movie?
It is some not so smart editing trickery.
Because she just would have nothing to in a movie chock full of celebrity appearances. She wanted nothing to do with this.
Of course
movie.
Not.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
No, she has no reason to do this. But did you catch in the credits? Right before all of the Bollywood dancers getting credited, there's a woman credited as the Oprah impersonator.
Oh, really?
Because it's like Guru Pitka is having a fantasy about being on Oprah, and they cut to, it looks like bad Nokia video cell phone footage of Oprah, and then it's just a dub of like, please welcome Guru Pitka, and he like comes out, but like, never are they on screen at the same time. It's this. It looks like a GIF of Oprah. Actually,
I think there might be like from a behind. Like
yes,
the head.
there's a stand-in. There's just someone pretending to be Oprah.
Oh shit! Well, you think it was Gail?
Oh shit! Yeah, she's like, Gail, go pretend you're me in this Mike Myers movie.
She wouldn't do that to Gail,
wouldn't she?
That's cold. Do that to Gail, that's fucking cold.
What about Stedman? You think Stedman was involved? You think Stedman was like, oh man, give me that tape. I want an Oprah that I could tell what's what to.
Stedman actually had to approve the voice actor.
Oh, I see.
they had him turn around, and then a bunch of different women said things like Oprah, and he was like, number three, and that woman got cast.
Can I hear number four again? Give me the fucking keys, you cocksucker motherfucker.
Was that Benicio Del Toro auditioning for Oprah?
And now Benicio Del Toro for Oprah?
You will get a Kia. Look under your seat. You will also get a Kia. And you get a Kia. And you get a Kia. And you get a motherfucking Kia.
And I'm back. Hello?
Every day is I get a little further from loving that movie. And isn't it hard? Isn't it hard to love that movie?
I was thinking the other day, because my end of year vacation, I was going through that Mission Impossible box set.
Sure.
When I got to those McQuarrie movies.
Sure.
I remembered I met Chris McQuarrie one time when the first Jack Reacher movie came out. He directed that. I think that was the first time he worked with Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
sounds right.
And I was like, you know.
Did he tell you how to fix your TV? Or?
I appreciate that video. No, that is the best video of 2018.
Sure.
I was like, oh, you know, it's really nice to meet you. I had seen Jack Reacher. I was like, I really like this movie. I'm also a big Usual Suspects fan. To which Chris McQuarrie was like, that's okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. He was like, it's a bad script. He just like right to my face. It was pretty cool.
Writing on the wall.
And so when I was watching these movies, I was just like, I kind of don't care about the Usual Suspects anymore. That's unfortunate.
You're just an expose on Stephen Baldwin or Kevin Pollak away from that thing being unwatchable, period. Like, just no more arguing. It's got two strikes against it. Three, you're out.
Susie Amos is smuggling animals or something.
Oh, man.
So, I'm believing the best in Gabriel Byrne. I'm hoping nothing comes from him.
Dude, it's Gabriel Byrne and Benicio Del Toro, and they're in the middle of a field, and he's like, come on, we got to get this whale back. And it's just that Simpsons gag with the Mo or the pandas.
Dubious shit. Sorry.
He also has to shoot John Turturro while he's doing that.
Got to find me hat.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
When the love guru and this guy, they get together, and one of the first times he sees him, he's wearing a shark skin suit.
Oh, yes, right. Please.
And the guru Pitka says more like gay skin suits.
Yes. You're right.
What did that?
He says, what's wrong with shark skin? To which the guru Pitka replies, more like gay skin.
And the thing is, in one of many times, all of these people who are standing around, who are paid extras, who are playing Romany Malco's,
like his entourage.
Yeah. Are just laughing at this joke like it's funny. And I'm like, what is the joke? What
so
is
many
even
people,
the joke?
So much of this movie is watching people laugh at the guru Pitka's antics.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just not funny.
There is a moment. Did
but
you
that's
catch
a seventh
this?
Grade joke, by the way. That's a joke a seventh grader would write.
Of course.
Right.
And just like that's a joke that you would tell in seventh grade.
There is a moment towards the end of the film where the guru Pitka makes some comment in front of Thelma Hopkins' character.
Yeah.
Did you? I'm pretty confident in this. I don't know if you guys notice it. They cut to Thelma Hopkins, and I think it's just a shot of the actress breaking laughing at Mike Myers, and they just left it in like, this will make him feel good. Leave this. This will boost Mike's ego even more. Or maybe Mike Myers demanded that stay
shit,
in.
Shit, right. Or maybe he demanded that she laugh.
Like, I think that's the last one is the right one.
Speaking of fucking sniper rifles to your head.
Laugh at me! Look at me and laugh.
Well, that's the posse thing is so incredible. Is I'm just like, yeah, they're all going to fucking get rid of their jobs essentially because he's so funny. Yeah, hearing the word gay is so funny. They're like, we'll risk our jobs. That's good.
This is after. So the first attempt at reconciliation is Guru Pitka is like, all right, look, I'll take an apology letter that you write to your wife, Prudence. She happens to be now living with Jacques Lecoq Grande.
Sure.
I'm going to break into his mansion and give her this letter or whatever. There is this whole scene where Mike Myers is fighting a guard cock.
That is the last, one of the last gasps of the Something About Mary. You fight the dog puppet.
Right. Oh, yes. You're totally right.
And that's something you needed to do in every comic.
And that
every
is to the year. A decade after that movie came out.
Sure.
No, before that even, Father of the Bride, the dogs outside in the back, he watched that do the whole thing.
Objection, counselor, they're not puppets.
Those are real dogs.
Right. The thing is, it's gotta be wrestling a puppet.
Because he's fighting this like fucking rooster stuffed animal. Right. And he's all like bloody and shit. He kills this thing.
Cockfight.
Saving Silverman has a joke like that. I think Steve Zahn's fighting a raccoon.
A gator. Oh, it's you're right. It is a raccoon.
Well, I mean, Warren Oates is down on his luck after this.
Wow, nice white dog reference.
Or cockfighter.
No, cockfighter. Rather,
cockfighter's a great.
Is Warren
film.
Oates in White Dog too? Or what's the
I don't think so.
What is the Peckinpah movie about the racist
that's
dog?
That's White Dog.
It is White Dog. Yeah. He's not in that though.
That's
he's
not
just in cockfighter.
That's Fuller. That's
or
not.
Sam. Oh, Fuller.
Fuck,
you're right.
Shit.
You're right. Get my Sams mixed up. Yeah. There is. I had a hip kind of laugh, and then I had a legitimate laugh.
Uh-oh.
The hip came right here where he delivers this letter or whatever, and then he's like, all right, I got to go. One of the maneuvers he has is he has like a Batman, like ninja fucking smoke bomb that he uses to get out of situations.
Yeah.
And so he does that, and then when the smoke clears, the elephant that he rides around everywhere is outside, and the assistant is piloting it. You see Mike Myers jump up on this elephant, and for nothing, it's a bad ADR. It's a far shot, so you can't even see Mike Myers' mouth move. But you hear him go, beat it, I got to take a dump.
Wow, all right.
And I kind of just went,
all right. You know what? Eating ain't cheating, beat it, I got to take a dump. We can see where the laughter comes from.
My chortle is coming up later. That's at the NHL finals. Don't even worry about it.
The inevitable ashes of existence. That's the real joke, everybody.
I love that joke.
I just love this notion also of like our star player is distracted and he's terrible. The team is terrible. You're in the Stanley Cup Finals. You're right now one of the two best hockey teams of the season.
Yeah, but that's Jessica Alba's whole thing is like, oh man, our family, the family is, we haven't won a Stanley Cup in, you know, 30 years or whatever the number is.
Right. Since they bought the team or whatever, it's been on a losing streak.
Everyone in Canada, everyone in Toronto hates me. Mm-hmm. But to Andrew's point, yeah, like getting to the Stanley Cup, that's a big fucking deal.
There's a lot of fucking hockey teams in both conferences.
It's a fucking major league plot.
Yes. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Make her an adversary. Like make her
a character. She's like, oh, I guess I'm attracted to Mike Myers. I got hit in the head by a fucking horse today.
Yeah.
I'm attracted to Mike Myers as this guru.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, it's Jessica Alba. She's independently a billionaire in real life, by the way. You cannot forget that. So
with this caked on shit.
Yeah,
Mike Myers.
Fake nose.
No, not, but like the smell. Yes.
Caked on shit.
Like, oh, from the she, from the
chastity, yeah,
chastity belt, right?
But, and the ball smell, by the way, would be a big
problem. Oh, probably BO because he's probably using all of that like organic deodorant.
Magma. Still, from down under, it's Vinegar City, and I don't want.
You're right. Oh, it like stings your nose. Yeah. To smell. Anyway, you were saying she's a billionaire.
Oh, in real life, Jessica Alba has, I don't know if it's like a cosmetics company Goop. Or some sort of wellness Goop. Thing. No, that's the other one.
Oh, right. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Gwyneth, no. Do you think Gwyneth sells Jessica's Goop?
She might sell Jessica's Goop.
That'd be a good
Goop.
Like indie movie know. Title. Jessica Gwyneth sells Jessica's Goop.
I like that idea. Yeah.
Jessica's Goop.
Jessica's Goop. Yeah,
oh,
dude.
Oh, God. No, yes. She, I mean, Jessica Alba is a very successful businesswoman in real life and doesn't have to act.
She's
anymore.
Not a fantastic actress, but she's a likable presence, I think.
She, I think, is kind of doing one of the best jobs in this
yes,
movie.
Yes. She's trying to be a straight person, like, you know, a straight man, kind of like, what's going on here kind of a thing. But then, like, every other scene, she's going to be like, man, I want to suck that guy's dick for some reason. It's like, wait, what?
That makes no sense. Like, how are you thinking about that and getting past the smegma smell?
Because she's so horny. She's not even, like, attracted to him or, like, in love with him. She's horny
this
for him.
This disqualifies her as straight man. No yeah. one is a straight man in this movie, and that's the problem.
Yes. Oh, it's just because she read his books.
That's right.
That's yeah. what did it.
Oh, yeah.
So all of a sudden, she's in fan. Love with him and ready to go down the aisle.
Well, I forgot about that.
Well, that's like Myers' thing. Is like one of the things that I read today was like, oh, it's about this movie has a lot of good ideas in it, and like you know, it's kind of cart, you know, what do you call it there, carriaged in comedy. So like, but the audience is still getting like you know, like the idea of like the only way out is to look within, and like blah 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 blah, and like you know, believe in yourself and all that stuff. It's like, but yeah, but that's like putting like a pill in shit. Like you know what I mean? Like no one wants to touch it.
And we it doesn't come across because I'm too distracted. I'm busy picking peanuts out of shit right now.
But also, like the whole point of the movie is that he is a huckster,
yes.
and that's a good thing. Like,
yes,
it's yeah, not really. Like it comes to a point where like he actually gives somebody real joy or somebody benefits from what he does. Really,
no, Kevin. You're- he uses his little drama system, his little what is it there?
Acronym?
Yeah. Drama. Yeah.
He successfully uses his method that he peddles. He's not, that's the thing. He's not a huckster in this movie. If he was a huckster, it's a better movie.
But he's also, but to Kevin's point, the materialism is a problem for me. It's like, is it bad that he wants all this money? He's getting paid $2 million. Like, you know, there's all, and he's like,
well,
he's
that's
a jillionaire.
Like, he's like Osho, dude.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Rajneeshis, you know.
Oh, that's, man, I wish fucking Sheila would take him out, dude.
Dude, they should have had a Sheila character. That would have been great. Get the lady from those Austin Powers movies.
Oh, she'd do a great Sheila.
She would. Whoever that is.
Yes. Oh, my God. At one point, we have a meeting at Vern Troyer's office.
Dude, what are we doing with this fucking...
Being John Malkovich. Yes! That's what we're doing. It's like a fucking small half a floor.
Yeah.
But all the furniture is small because that's a... Like,
there is a great Tribune trivia thing about this. Did you see that?
I did.
No.
Vern Troyer, rest his soul, took a lot of these like tiny props. Mm. Back to his house and use them IRL.
Okay. Yeah.
He did.
No, I know. That's something.
It's on the Tribune. I'm just saying. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying it's a thing that they said.
IMDb never lies.
Dude, it's like the National Enquirer of the internet.
Dude. He was also Bat Boy, by the way.
By the way, I'm about to double my money right now.
Yes.
Vern Troyer died in... April of 2018. I'm going to put $100 to anyone in this room who wants to match it. He is getting Farina'd this year at the Oscars. There is no way he is making the montage. 100 big ones.
I don't know.
100
Can
big
I
ones.
Say...
Mini-me is showing up.
Conversely, yeah. Here's the thing. Conversely, he makes it, and it's the single... most embarrassing film clip of Vern Troyer they can find. And I think really? It might be, this is a perfect time for me to introduce where I fucking laughed heartily, is they're trying to do like, it's the Stanley Cup Finals and we have to buy some time.
Oh, sure.
And Vern Troyer like fakes a heart attack yeah. and like the referee like stops the game and like the medic comes out and they do like a little paddle zap on him.
Yes.
And he shoots off the bench.
Yes.
And they cut to a puppet,
of course,
being thrown through the goal. And if you have terrible puppet work in your movie, I will. Yeah. If it is just clearly you're throwing a dummy somewhere, Married with Children utilized it quite a bit. I will always laugh at bad dummies, dude. And you just see this little dummy dressed up like Vern Troyer get thrown into a hockey goal, and I started fucking laughing my ass off. Nothing to do with the writing or acting of this movie. It was purely craft work. And stunt work.
Oh, Kraftwerk. Welcome back to Sprockets. This is Dieter.
Oh, no, don't say that. Myers will get sued again.
There was some lawsuit with that?
Yeah, he pulled out because he didn't like the script because he's such a controlling maniac.
Oh, right.
He pulled out of the whole movie, like 11th hour, and then blah, blah, blah.
I mean, Dieter would have worked as better. It would have been a better movie.
It's
than
a movie.
Sure.
It's a movie. Like, yep. And also, like, a white guy doing German jokes, sure. You know what I mean? Like,
totally fine.
It's tired and it's whatever, but it's sure.
It's a
white
thing.
Guy doing Indian jokes, not in a million years. Anyone taking my Vern Troyer butt before we leave the station? Anyone doing it?
Doing the bets?
Yeah, do the bet, man.
That's a lot.
It's
that's
a morbid bet. A lot of clams. Do fit? All right. We'll leave it alone.
Well,
let me think on it. Okay. I might do $50.
50. Let's do 50.
I'm not going to do 50 both ways. All right, yeah, I'll do 50 both ways.
I'll do 50 that he is included.
He's included? All right.
Uh-huh.
$50.
Yeah, now I think he's in it.
All right.
Yep, for $50.
I think he's in it, too.
Whoa, all right. So now I'm going one against three.
I'm like, Gavin.
All right, no, you know what? I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Wow.
This is going to be forever on the internet, by the way.
It's going
to
happen.
You're not going to be able to weasel out of
this. So wait, does he have to pay each of us $50?
That's why he's freaking out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little upset about that.
And,
well, you don't know. Here you go. Well, I'll do $50 right, split by three.
You're
no,
so,
gets no, bucks. You're paying each of
no,
us
no, no,
you
$60.
You are so here. Fucking confident. That you should just be happy that we're all going to give you $50.
You see, we're just three suckers.
You stopped our 400th episode to make this bet.
All right.
That's pretty fucking confident.
You were so confident, we had to talk you down to 50.
It's true. Okay.
I will also be fine.
Do you want to do 100?
No. I want to do 100 three ways.
$60 three ways.
That's fair.
$20.
$20 a pop. $20 a pop.
That's manageable.
That's manageable. Okay.
Totally manageable.
That's fine. All right. It's a gentleman's wager.
It's a gentleman's wager. We'll find out on Oscar. See you, gentlemen, at the Oscars.
You are just going to see a clip of this poor dead little man with his fucking ass up, his head up somebody's ass, or running around naked, or what, being mistaken for a baby, or like whatever happened to him in his career.
I got nervous at a $50 bet. I was going to have to add an extra Patreon level.
Patreon.com.
Yeah, the next tier, Steve's gambling addiction.
/ we hate movies.
Morbidbets.org. Patreon.com/morbidbets.
Now someone's going to take that.
No, yeah, you're right.
You're going to be the only person in the world who screams, oh, come on, when Vern Troyer is included in memoriam.
Guys, I want to bring us back to the film.
Please do.
Sure.
Talk about a serious moment.
Mm-hmm.
That is no laughing matter.
Okay.
Most of this movie is no
laughing matter.
It's the ball gazer.
Oh, man.
So they're at a bar, and a bar fight eventually breaks out after they're fucking around with each other, and he does a hand by his crotch.
Yeah.
NHL player.
Yeah.
And again, that's a seventh grade joke. That's something people
exactly.
did in my school
and
in seventh
Myers
grade.
Mike Myers looks at it, and he says, ball gazer, and punches him.
Yep.
And this sets off this is a domino that goes into motion.
This is
to
crazy.
To the point where everyone in the bar starts fighting.
Yes.
You catch these two.
Oh, yeah, I sure did.
Dudes that come up there. It's Rob Hubel and Daniel Tosh.0.
And poor Rob Hubel has to play like second fiddle to Daniel Tosh.
Is he playing second fiddle?
I think so. Like, he's like kind of like, yeah, let's get him, Daniel Tosh.
Tosh is the one who's like really instigating the fight.
And by the way, to this day, thankfully, Daniel Tosh's only film credit.
That's a tragedy.
Oh, one so and done, Love Guru.
That's so good.
Well, he's got plenty of TV ones where he introduces YouTube clips.
Is that still happening? That's got.
I have no idea. But
all right, $60.
No. Steve's like shaking.
I'm on a roll. Tosh.0 is still on the from 2009 to 2018. I'm sorry, it ended last year.
Oh,
he did 270 episodes of YouTubing.
Wow, that is a lot of talking about YouTube.
Talking the tube.
I'm really happy we didn't take that bet because I don't want to get involved in owning Sadaki.
There is a stupid thing. This was also a bad. So what? Why they're at that bar is because. Mike Myers is like, you have to confront your mother. So they drive to Buffalo.
Yes.
And she is like a, she's like a preacher or a singer in a choir at a Baptist church or whatever. And she's this very domineering mother character or whatever. And it goes poorly. They leave and they're at this bar. Do you notice how they just end this scene of like, Mike Myers and Romany Malco get thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And then Rob Hubel and Daniel Tosh get thrown out the window. And like Rob Hubel's got glass in his head. Sure. Mike Myers has like a broom or a pool cue up his ass. And they're all just like laughing about it. And it just, it takes a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
It just fades to black with these four guys laughing. And like that's the end of that scene. Those characters never come back.
I think the idea is you would be laughing so hard you wouldn't notice such a hard edit. Like your eyes would be closed.
You're
like
blacking out right now from your laughter. Your laughter is killing. Your brain.
I was just delirious, dude.
And you're just going to come to consciousness again in the next scene.
Yeah, I mean, it's another one of those deflated jokes where they're just like, oh, yeah, you would be laughing. Who cares?
The
yeah.
next scene, by the way, is them some horrendous Niagara Falls green screen where they have like a little bit of a bonding moment that means nothing because it cuts to an elephant taking a shit or whatever.
Yeah. So the sort of the ending of this movie, such as it is,
right.
is, please.
I was just looking at one of the things I wanted to cover in my notes because it, I think, kind of wraps up this movie.
Is it a bet?
Steve is sweating. No, when he invites Jessica Alba to dinner at his fucking compound.
Please.
And this dude, his little assistant or whatever, is making the dish nuts in a sling.
I will say, actually, the dude playing Rajneesh is doing a really fun job. He's got a really fun handle on this character.
He's doing his best being just, in the love guru.
He's doing his best being in the love guru, exactly. But
it's just this weird thing where Mike Myers is like, all right, this dinner we're going to have, Rajneesh is making nuts in a sling.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is it even? It's like two falafels and a thing of dough.
No, it's two lishis in a
okay.
It's like a dessert. But also, that's after 3 minutes of them covering More Than Words together.
Oh, yeah. That's the other musical number. You're right.
And
to contextualize this for people, though, that this thing they're cooking looks like a nut sack.
Yes.
That's the joke.
Yeah, and he's doing a thing where he's like, do you want your nuts pounded or whatever? He's like, of course. And the dude's taking like a meat tenderizer to this dough.
I think both of the joke is two things. One, it looks like a nut sack. Two, isn't Indian food weird? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. What do they eat over there? You know what's fucking delicious? Indian food.
But they're doing a thing where like Mike Myers is like reacting to what's happening to it. So like when this dude pounds it, he's like, oh, and then like he deep fries it. And then he's like screaming. Yeah. And Jessica Alba's like, yeah, I want to fuck this guy.
And don't like they drag it over somebody's face like, oh, nuts on your face.
Probably. But then he puts this thing on a plate and then he's like, and don't forget your pickle, and just lazily throws a pickle on this plate.
Because you did. Like, and then one guy all the way in the back of the audience, oh, it's a dick! Yeah. Just starts laughing.
Did you get it yet?
This guy's like, what is this scene going on for a really, really long time? Oh, it's a dick!
Oh, God, it's just like going for the laziest jokes and then over-explaining them.
Exactly.
Ad nauseum.
But so yes, we're in the Stanley Cup Finals. Romany Malco has been suspended for 2 games, so he plays game one, gets kicked out, suspended for game two, suspended for game three. So the Kings are up 3-0 on the Leafs in this series.
Sure.
And there's an after party scene leading into the end of the movie. Speaking of fake Oprah, we got another fake celebrity cameo
here. Oh, yes, that's right, another deep fake.
Because we're in like an LA Kings after party for game three.
Yeah.
And Mike Myers is like, how can I distract Justin Timberlake's character so I can talk to Prudence privately? Yeah. And he's like, oh, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, Canadian sensation Celine Dion. The camera is a football field length away, and some woman in a wig walks out.
Couldn't even call in the favor. How are you not able to call in that favor?
I think it's a no. I think
why did she owe him a favor?
I think the favor was called in, and he said no. She just said no.
That's fair.
But like, why? Wait. Wait a second. What did Mike Myers do for Celine Dion that she owes him a favor?
They're both Canadian. I don't know.
They know each other.
Oh, I see.
A moose hit her car, and he got it. He got it fixed.
But like it's we're still doing the Celine Dion joke like a decade after it.
Yep.
And it's tired. What he should have done was you build up like it's going to be Celine Dion, but then Alex Trebek walks out.
Oh, yes, shit.
Right?
Dude. Yeah.
That's what you do.
I'd go more apeshit for Alex Trebek.
He would do it too.
Or you could show up. You get Alan Thicke too, man. Alan Thicke would
be, you know,
RIP. There you go. Alan Thicke will be in your movie, by the way. That's for
sure. Well, he would have.
Oh, yeah. He died? When did he die?
He's been dead for like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, really?
He died of a massive heart attack.
Don't worry. He'll still do your movie. They got him on ice somewhere. He'll just throw him.
Alan Thicke hologram. One of the lesser known celebrity holograms. No, he had that heart attack and then he went into a robot.
Oh, yeah. Then he went into a robot.
That's that movie.
Yes, he's like, my dad's a robot or something.
Bicentennial Man?
Look it up on IMDb, man. It's there.
He's
driving a car.
This is a new movie?
No. He's driving a car in like the late 80s or the early 90s.
Okay.
He swerves from hitting like a raccoon or a dog or something.
Yeah. Sure.
He dies in a car accident and he somehow gets transported into a robot. And that's a movie that they made.
This comes out next year.
It's like the Lovematic Grandpa.
Yeah.
Not quite human.
Thank you.
Really?
But I think it's a kid that's dead.
Oh, it's a kid that's dead.
No,
that's
Alan Thicke is definitely dead in that movie.
If they're both dead, it's hilarious.
In any event.
Maybe he plays a kid.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I'm like 6 years old. Now I'm Mike Seaver.
Alan Thicke. Backward baseball cap. We know what's going on.
Hang ten.
There is. Mike Myers has this. The Guru Pitka has this whole system. It's like DRAMA. We have to go to the whole system no matter what. And Romany Malka will not, do one of the steps. So, and like the movie's coming to an end. And what'd you call it? yes, John Oliver doing his best. Like, just skip the step. We'll do a shortcut. He does it. And it works for a little while, but this is sort of like what the movie's kind of, I guess, about.
Did we hit that John Oliver's name is Dick Pants?
Oh, I forgot. I missed that. I just didn't even care. Like, literally, like, every time they started talking, I'm like, I don't care.
I just think because I bet you Mike Myers still calls him that to this day.
Oh, probably, right?
Like, I guarantee they haven't spoken.
He's like, hey, John, you think I could come on Last Week Tonight?
He's been on Last Week Tonight a couple times.
What?
Yes, at least two or three.
As that fucking Gong Show?
Oh, Jesus. No. That's another he looks like a robot.
Yeah, he's all dressed up.
He did something on like the Canadian elections or something. And
that's fun. Actually, I do remember that.
Yeah.
No, straight in from the Tribune, you did not select the right movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So maybe he's in
you
some...
have selected Agent Zero.
It's a film from 1991 called And You Thought Your Parents Were Weird.
Okay.
Plot line, two inventor brothers create a working robot that is also inhabited by the spirit of their dead father.
Oh.
Played by Alan Thicke. Possible stay tuned.
Alternate title for that movie, And You Thought Your Parents Were Dead.
Bravo.
So whatever, the whole thing is like he can't play hockey in front of his mother. Justin Timberlake hires the mother somehow to sing the national anthem at the Game 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now, so like all that progress comes crashing down. Mike Myers is on his way to go to do the Oprah show, but luckily he doesn't have to because Oprah doesn't exist in this world.
Classic airport Cinnabon freakout, by the way.
Dude, the fucking Cinnabon in this movie. Holy mackerel.
There's even a thing. So he and like John Oliver get in this screaming match because John Oliver is like, no, like let's just go to Chicago. This is our goal. We've been working to be on Oprah. And he's like, no, I feel terrible. I have to go back and I have to, you know, set right what once went wrong.
Yeah.
And he runs, Mike Myers runs away, and then he comes back because he forgot his delicious Cinnabon.
Yeah.
Dude, he like holds it up like a waiter and like smiles at it.
Because he just listened to Jim Gaffigan's bit.
Deleted scene, possibly, or just like kind of uncredited, but at least according to the Tribune, playing one of the Cinnabon workers, Samantha Bee.
Wow.
Yeah. All these future stars of late night.
This movie's also got a little bit of a chub for The Daily Show circa 2007.
I think that's what we're doing.
Colbert, Oliver, right. Samantha Bee now. Mm-hmm.
How the fuck do you not cast Rob Riggle in anything?
That's true.
He was around then, wasn't he?
You could have been on the team.
I mean, don't worry. He's been in everything else.
I just see Rob Riggle a lot in commercials where he's talking about football on Fox.
Any big box comedy, like he's like the third tier down.
Right. Mm. I love Rob Riggle.
I really like him.
He's the guy that comes over for dinner and he's like, what's that guy's problem? He's like, oh, we'll watch the rest of the movie.
And you know what? I want to see a movie where someone looks at Rob Riggle and goes, what's that guy's problem? Because what are we doing? Like, why couldn't Rob Riggle be in Game Night?
Sure, why not?
Well, he's supposed to know, because like after Hangover, his bit in Hangover, I think they were putting him in all those movies.
Yeah.
I totally forgot he was even in
there. Totally forgot that, too. I've forgotten The Hangover entirely.
Yeah, me too. That's what made Bradley Cooper a star.
It was.
Totally.
No, that was the Stonecutters. Oh, no, Steve Cooper.
So anyway, he goes back to Game 7, and it's like, boy, oh, boy, we need to buy some time because Romany Malco won't come out of the locker room.
Sure.
Guru Pika, could you possibly think of something to cause a distraction at Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals?
This is set up, actually, earlier in the film.
Is that right?
One of the things Ben Kingsley tells him is like about the power of distraction. He's like, if Albert Einstein and so-and-so, somebody else, were talking about the meaning of life, if they saw two elephants fucking, they would have been distracted. So he goes back. It's really, really smart.
This is some smart screenwriting.
And the name, Bodhisattva, doesn't that mean supreme being in the...
Could not tell you.
I think so.
What are you even talking about?
I think the name of the elephant.
Oh, I don't know.
I think so. I don't know.
I was just calling it Stampy.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's 400 episodes for you. Yeah.
I'm just saying there are ways this movie's being offensive that we might not even know about.
Oh, Cabot, it is a fucking offensive onion like you wouldn't believe.
That's, you know what's so funny about the 400 episode thing and the Stampy line is this episode's actually, we just edited this together from all the other episodes. This has been a clip show.
Yeah,
you
had no idea.
Are editing together.
It's
painstakingly.
Nuts, dude. It's the most intricately edited podcast in the history of the media.
Yeah, this is just all, we're just saying things from other episodes.
Yeah, that's why you heard Eric go through puberty throughout the episode.
I got the belt taken off, dude.
We were able to highlight years ago Steve's gambling addiction that he's since kicked.
Yeah. That's covering everything.
That's for real, suckos. And I'm looking at 60 big ones come April.
Oh, man. The distraction is, let's get these two elephants on the ice and they're just going to start fucking?
Sure.
What? And this is what's great, because wow, what a black eye for the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, the NHL just allows all of this to happen?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. They do win. They wind up winning the cup, right?
In a fucking illegal way, by the
way. Well, what a black eye for the Toronto Maple Leafs. This would be a totally fucking... they would rip the banner off from the Raptors.
It's an asterisk at the very least.
You would be talking... Everyone would be talking about the elephants fucking and not the win.
Yeah.
Really.
Right, yeah. You know? Yeah, that's what is in like the Toronto Star Tribune.
It would be called the elephant fuck game. Oh, the elephant fuck game? Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Tonight on ESPN Classic, the elephant fuck game. I'm Al Michaels.
Well, Jessica Alba might see a whole new market here. She can just have donkey shows on ice.
Oh, boy. Chris's zoo cabin, by the way. We can mention it, 400 episodes.
You know, Al, this reminds me of them two elephants fucking in that hockey game a couple months ago.
Let's cut to the tape now. There it is. Oh, and that was, of course, he eventually went on to become the president of the United States. Guru Pitka was riding the elephant, the male that was doing the thrusting.
You know, I always heard that elephants liked nutting. But I thought that was peanuts, but it turns out it's actually nutting into another elephant.
I haven't been this uncomfortable since I sat next to O.J. Simpson at a dinner. I'm Al Michaels.
I asked him to pass a steak knife.
Anyway,
haven't had a more awkward experience broadcasting sports since Dennis Miller was doing Monday Night Football.
You know, Dennis, I don't know much about the ancient Romans, so I'm going to take a pass on
just,
that.
Just going to take a moment here to thank our janitorial staff here at the Maple Leafs. They are a brave bunch of fellas. I've met them. I've been to their holiday party. They were just a great, great group of workers down there.
Let me ask you this, Troy. Do you know how hard it is to clean elephant semen up off of ice? It's darn near impossible.
It melts straight through.
It's like the movie Alien.
Oh, my God. All right. So right prior to that was where we got Vern Troyer doing the fake heart attack as a distraction.
Right.
And then he gets pounded with the clamps that electrify him and throw him into the hockey goal.
Classic dummy work.
Which is the classic dummy work we were speaking of earlier, just letting people know where it fits into the puzzle of the film.
Right. And then Romany Malco, much like the end of the first Mighty Ducks film, wins the game with an illegal maneuver.
Yes.
Because the Mighty Ducks do the like flying V, and that's like you can't create a barrier like that against the rules. You also cannot pick the puck up off the ice and throw it to the other end of the rink and then skate after it, which is what he fucking does. Dude, NHL, how about this? If you want your league represented on film, how about at least having the common courtesy to play by the rules?
I don't know what I'm more offended at, the elephant semen or picking up the puck. I'm Al Michaels.
You know what? It's the puck. That is a disgrace to the game. Listen, I've been watching hockey for 40 or 50 years, and I've seen elephants fuck on the ice a couple of times. But you pick up that puck and chuck it down rink, buddy.
I don't know why our cameras just cut to that obese couple.
Dude, what is that?
That seems kind of tasteless. I'm going to be honest with you
there,
Al.
That is a horrible joke in this movie.
It's such a bad joke. And also, how dare you? Like, it's actually like the most tender moment. It's like two people who are actually in love, like, holding hands.
But they're reminded of why they're in love by watching two beasts. Fuck.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that shit.
It's like looking in a mirror for them. I guess is the joke they're going
That's
for.
The joke,
by the way,
yes.
Also in the audience, we get to see Mike Myers as himself.
With Kanye West. Yes.
Wait, what?
You're watching The Fly again, dude. Yeah. Yes, it cuts to it's Michael Myers in Michael Myers.
Bum, 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 bum,
in a Toronto Maple Leafs.
Toronto. It's a frog.
Toronto. Maple Leafs jersey.
Sure.
And he's with Kanye West and they're celebrating the win.
Oh,
and apparently there's a longer take where like Kanye is like going to say something and Mike Myers is doing like a please don't say it. Please don't say it.
Because George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Which was 3 years before this movie came out. So you're just digging up that. Like, what the fuck?
But remember, I, Donald J. Trump, care deeply about black people.
There's my black, and there's my black, and oh, I'm sorry, there's my African American.
Can I get the tape of the elephant's fucking?
And while you're at it, I want to try that piss mop thing.
Yes, he does.
Don't we love stink mop, folks? Don't we love it? Don't we like to play it with our friends and family?
You know, I was once in a triples match between the Juice and Donald J. Trump. I don't know who was worse.
They started drinking each other's urine.
Oh, that's a very fine vintage.
Oh. So they win the Stanley Cup.
That is very good.
Oh, so they win the Stanley Cup.
They do win it.
Don't they win it, everybody?
I see why they call you the Juice.
Oh, my God.
It's a little tangy.
You were right. The 400th and final episode.
I'm just going to go back to the clubhouse and get an Arnold Palmer. I'm Al Michaels.
I retire.
Maybe I'll call Madden, see if he's dead yet.
So that's, they win, like, we just then cut back. So I guess, by the way, the whole intro, it was like a framing device.
Sure.
Because we cut back to, I guess it's India.
Yeah.
And he's on this beach, and he's doing the recorder Morgan Freeman thing again. And he's like, well, that's our story, everybody. And I got the girl, and it cuts to the fucking Steve Miller Band number.
Well, there is a confrontation wherein Jessica Alba's like, I'm so attracted to you. And like,
oh, she, right.
And he's like, oh, well, I have this chastity belt. It's like, oh, I didn't understand. I thought you were rejecting me. I thought I was being rejected by Mike Myers, who looks like this character. And I, Jessica Alba, a billionaire in this movie, was very right. upset about that.
Yeah, Pinocchio halfway between being turned into a real boy.
Part puppet, part man.
That's what a Muppet is.
And he finds out, he finds out that there was a latch on the back of the chastity belt the whole time.
By Ben Kingsley, who's still alive somehow, and sure. this character is still alive.
But then we get the last Bollywood number of Steve Miller's The Joker, which...
It's just such a fucking huge fart. They do an obnoxious, like, there's all the people dancing behind them and they're marching. You know, just it's just like a Bollywood musical number. When they get to fucking Midnight Toker and it's the whole, you got to hear it from the crowd. Everybody yells Midnight Toker. Vern Troyer's got, he's like smoking weed out of a hookah.
I just think that's part of like, he thought that this movie would bring that song back. And like, everyone was going to start singing that song.
That song never went anywhere, buddy.
Exactly. It never fucking left. Which is good. Yeah, I saw Steve Miller Band in concert.
Wait, what?
It was him and all the other dads.
Yeah, it was fine. He was okay. It was all right. No, it was at a festival as part of a lineup. Gotcha. I saw Tom Petty right before he croaked.
Gotcha.
But, you know, Petty.
Pretty cool.
Steve Miller.
Yeah.
That's a dad weekend right there, my friend.
A lot of Midnight Token going on there, yeah, probably.
You know what? Tom Petty also not at the Oscar montage, so pay up.
What? No, he's going to be in there for the postman, where he's like, hey, man, I heard about you. And then Kevin Costner's like, oh, you used to be a musician.
Oh.
Well, that was a long time ago, man.
Wait, we've already had an Academy Award since he died.
No,
though.
I know, but I'm just saying. Pay up.
Well,
pay up anyway. Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
Well, to be fair, this episode's a little rough because, as I said, it is edited between a bunch of other previous episodes.
Eric is just glitching. It's funny that he hasn't seen Spider-Verse yet because
Spider-Verse, I have not seen.
And then, boy, the best part of the movie. The closing credits.
Whew.
And they couldn't come fast enough.
There's only one blooper in there, though.
It's kind of a funny Vern Troyer joke,
yeah,
honestly.
Like, it seems like he's having fun on the set. Like, they can't... it's like, hey, fix the camera. All I can see is people's asses. And it's Vern Troyer's like, well, now you know how it feels. And it brings the house down.
It's very funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a throwaway line by him. And it's not like it's a real joke. That's why it works. It's not, like set up as this joke ceremony we get throughout this fucking movie.
Yeah, this movie is all joke ceremony. That's exactly a great way to put it. It's over with. Thank God it's over with.
It's over.
You know that apparently he's making a fourth Austin Powers movie?
Really?
We'll see.
I mean, I guess with the passing of Vern Troyer, I mean, how could you do it without Mini-Me?
We'll see. We'll find out, I guess. I mean, you just don't have him in there, and that's fine.
You know what, Steve? It's also fine to just not have a fourth Austin Powers movie. That's
it is. Also, maybe leave Dr. Evil. Do a different Bond villain.
Dr. Steve-el.
Well, I think that was. I mean, we'll definitely get to Goldmember eventually for sure.
Yeah, that movie's got one funny joke in it: Danny DeVito playing Mini Me.
Sure,
he's grabbing his junk and saying he's Mini Me and giving the finger. It's funny,
but that was the problem with those movies. They could not get away from Dr. Evil, even though they did Goldmember, who was not funny.
But it was a different villain. But they still bring back Dr. Evil.
Well, the great curse of any franchise is the first movie's good.
Yeah.
Right.
Because then you just do that again and again.
Yeah, you're totally right. Although it's weird, though. I don't know how you're going to do the fourth one without Dr. Evil. Because remember the end of Goldmember? It's revealed that they're brothers.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, right. No, I did not.
Yeah, so right like, though. Boy, you just can't let a juicy thread like that die.
Well, someone has been waiting 20 years for that movie.
Somebody. Not anybody in this room.
I think a guy in a Canadian A t-shirt. eagerly awaiting.
Big time. Would anybody recommend this movie?
Not on your life. End of segment.
I'm going to bet $50 that nobody recommends this movie.
It's a piece of shit. Never watch it.
No, it is not good. Bad movie.
Well, I vote for cutting from other episodes. No, it's the worst movie we've ever done on this show.
It's okay to like a movie. Maybe not this one.
I would really be suspicious of somebody who found this movie appealing.
How? What's appealing about it?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I'd be suspicious.
Maybe if you're a racist.
I would love to like just grab Mike Myers and find out if he thinks this movie is good. And if he does, why? And if he doesn't, does he think like he had a version of this movie that could ever be good?
He'd never tell you, though.
No,
I bet you he doesn't like this movie being mentioned. Because this was such a huge failure. This ended his career. This was the final nail in the coffin. I mean, he's coming back now in these supporting parts. But
sure. Or these weird game show things where he's just pretending to be a person.
Is the Gong Show still happening?
I don't know, but he like went on other shows to plug it as that character. It's very unsettling. I'm worried he's going to forget that he's Mike Myers.
I'm worried he's going to fucking die and turn into a robot.
That is a better movie than this, by the way.
Of course. And it would have to be.
It would. You're right. It would almost have to be. And that is the 400th episode of We Hate Movies, talking the Love Guru. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
That's where you'll find the first 100 episodes, actually, if you're a new fan of this show.
It's where they're hidden, yeah.
That's where they're hidden. You just couldn't fit them on this feed anymore, so we put them on the Patreon. We also have a ton of great premium content for you there. Mm-hmm. We got ourselves an episode on Jurassic World 2 this month. We've got the premiere of the Gleep Glossary. Eric Siska, you want to know what the Gleep Glossary is?
Well, it's going to be me reading through, I think, an episode. Maybe
the first one is out. It's out.
So you could actually go there right now and download it, where it's me telling the boys here about characters from tertiary characters from Star Wars.
Tertiary at best.
Yes, like, for instance, the band, the Cantina Band, is what we're covering this month. The Figrin Dan.
Right.
The Modell Nodes.
And what was the werewolf? Lars Ulrich?
Lax Sivrak, which was on our Star Wars episode, because we did a We Love Movies month recently, and we have a 2-hour and 51-minute episode on Star Wars. And also, by the way, if you get that Gleep Glossary level at the $8 level, you also unlock our Star Trek show, The Nexus, which we recently did. The Wrath of Khan is a full 2-hour and 3-minute episode.
You know what else you get there, Eric?
What?
You get a commandomentary.
That's right. Look at
we
him.
Did a whole commentary for Commando.
Yes, and you don't just get that. You get everything we've ever put on Patreon. So you get all our Twilight commentaries. You know, some people think like, "Oh, is it just you do it just for the month?" No, you sign up now, you instantly unlock everything. You don't lock anything.
No,
you
got don't lock anything. A ton of content on that Patreon.
So that is the Love Guru. Next week we go back to the worst of 2018, which is life itself, the previously scheduled. Yes.
Yeah, we just had to break in and really fucking torture ourselves for no good reason. But it's the 400th episode.
I got to tell you, way back in 2010, starting the show, if you had said to me, look, this fucking dumb idea you have is going to run for 400 plus episodes, I'd be like, well, that's a bold-faced lie. But it happened. It somehow happened. Right. It happened to the three of you getting on board with this. It happened to everyone out there who constantly listens and the people who are constantly finding the show. So thank you to the three of you for getting on board in the first place.
Well,
and
thank you for having us on board.
Well,
El Capitan.
Well, the idea is only the first part of it. You guys make it sing.
The bet is the second part.
Can we also praise Andrew for his editing? I've never seen a clip show I've liked of like a sitcom or a fun show that I enjoyed.
This was impressive.
This is a clip show. We are not even talking right now.
It's amazing. We took a whole week off.
It's actually decent for a clip show. Remember, rate this episode as if it was a clip show.
The four of us are actually currently stuck in an elevator somewhere. Just talking about old times.
Incredible that we were always at the same level at all the time, all the way through that.
It took 9 years to edit this episode.
Exactly. And I mean, again, we have like 9,000 more hours until we're good at this, so please stick with us.
We're trying our hardest to get there.
Malcolm, if you're listening, we love you.
Hey, Malcolm, no, we don't.
Malcolm, smoke some weed.
There you go. Until next week with Life Itself, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.